Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William M.O. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm okay. Just, you know, typical Sunday afternoon.
Yep.
So, you know the deal. We're talking sports, entertainment, and everything else.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, feel free to call in. You know, we'll lead off with baseball. The Mets, nail biter. Well, I can't really say it's a nail biter. They fall to the Phillies 6-5. They got blew out by the Phillies early on. They had a 2-0 lead, but we'll get into that in a couple of seconds. We'll talk the Mets, Yankees. Switch gears to the NBA. Talk a little hoops with the Knicks doing the most asinine move and bringing Isaiah Thomas back. We'll definitely get into that. Oh yeah, we'll definitely get into that. And we'll give a little props, shout out to the 2010 NFL Hall of Fame inductions. With Jerry Rice and Emmitt Smith leading the class, and we'll open the phone lines for everybody else to say what's on your mind, and of course, as usual, we'll end it off with a little sports entertainment stuff with a little WWE talk. So feel free to call in, ladies and gentlemen. appreciate you guys taking the time listening to the show. Feel free to talk sports entertainment. You know the deal. So without further ado, we shall lead off with the New York Metropolitan. And the Mets, they had an early 2-0 lead courtesy of Reyes' run. Reyes had a leadoff hit, double. Then on a bloop hit by Pagan, he scored. And afterwards, Pagan stole second, stole third, and then Ike Davis knocked in the second run with an infield hit off Roy Halladay's glove, which would make the Mets jump out to an early 2-0 lead in the top of the first. But then, slowly but surely, the Phillies took the lead. They tied the game. Jason Worth hit a home run, which Carlos Beltran, he was chasing after the ball, but he didn't realize he was so close to the wall, so he slammed into the wall. Had he leaped, had he not crashed into the wall and, you know, knew where he was at, he could have leaped and robbed Jason Worth the solo home run, but he didn't. So they jumped out to a 1-0 lead, 2-1. They cut the lead in half. Mets was still leading 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Then afterwards, shortly, Mets would give the run again. Rollins scored on a play at the plate, which Tolley could have blocked them out, but he slid in, before Tolley could have tagged them out. So that tied up the game, and then after that, the rest was history. Ibanez hit a three-run home run, made it 5-2 Phillies. And then the dagger was pretty much Brian Schneider. Yep, that, of course, Mets fans, that Brian Schneider. The Brian Schneider, the guy who has as much power as Rio Dornia. So he gets a RBI single, put it to 6-2. Mets, in typical fashion, they got it close. Of course, they fell to the score of 6-5. Beltran had a chance in the seventh inning to knock in the tie-in run, and then some. You know, maybe he hit a home run, he could have took the lead. But Beltran, he's hitting under 200 for the first time in his career, and as
Damn.
You saw yesterday, when Mets won 1-0, thanks to Johan Santana and the sparkling plays by Ruben Tejeda, who they called up along with Fernando Martinez after cutting Alex Cora and demoting Jesus Feliciano down. But Mets, yet again, they haven't won a rubber game this year. Against the NL East teams. The only time they've won the deciding game of a three-game series was, of course, against Baltimore and Cleveland during interleague. So, Mets, you could pretty much put the nail in the coffin. They're 9 games back, and they're like about, 7 games back in the wild card. So, ding dong, the Mets are dead.
Wow.
Nothing more I could say. And this is from an optimistic Mets fan, I'm sorry to say.
That didn't sound too optimistic when you said that.
I'm an optimist when it comes to my team, even though, unfortunately, you know, being a Mets fan, a Knicks fan, you know, a Jets fan, I haven't seen any of my teams, you know, win a championship. So, you know, I always believe, you know, like Tug McGraw said in 73, you got to believe, but. Hey, man, they're not showing you. I mean, sure, they did cut it. You know, they did came close. But the way how Roy Halladay was dealing for the most of the game, with the exception of the, you know, the first and the seventh inning, you know, Mets made it close. But other than the seventh inning, you never really had the first and the seventh inning. You watching this game, I never really had a – a belief that they were going to win the game. I mean, when they cut it to 6-3 and then 6-4, 6-5, I was, you know, I was getting a little more optimistic, hopefully, but I had a feeling. And if they didn't tie the game in the seventh, and that's all she wrote, and the fat lady sung today, all right.
I mean, well, what's wrong with your boy Beltran? I mean,
Beltran,
he hasn't looked the same since he's come back.
He's hitting under 200, first time in his career. And Beltran, yesterday, in a rare emotion, Beltran, after I think he grounded out or struck out yesterday, he slammed his hat in frustration. And in all the years Beltran's been on the team since 2005, you've never seen Beltran really that, you know, animated.
Yeah, well, you know, he's hitting under 200. If I was hitting under 200, also, I'll do shit. I'll do more than that. I'll punch one of my teammates in the face.
Yeah, man.
He's struggling right now.
Yeah, he's hitting around the Mendoza line, that's for sure. I mean, he can't be happy hitting that low. And this, and another thing that's troubling, not only his offense, his defense. Beltran's always been a 5-tool player, but I think the reason why the Mets fans have never really warmed up to him is because this guy, he has, you know, God-given abilities. I mean, this guy could be much better than the way he's playing, but, I mean, he's great at going back on balls, historically, as a Met. But diving for a ball, you know, in front of him, you know, you hardly see the guy dive for the ball.
Yeah.
But, you know, now he has this leg injury, and he's wearing a knee brace, and I hope he could turn it around, because it doesn't look good for Beltran.
And, you know, it's not, the blame shouldn't be entirely on him, you know.
It's not entirely his fault. I mean, the guy just came back from knee surgery, so you can't expect the guy to be, you know, he came back from the, you know, right after the All-Star break.
Right.
And,
you know, you can't look him at, it's not only him. He's not the only person that's going to bring his team back into this division race, you know. Some of the other guys like Jason Bay and...
Oh, yeah, Jason Bay, his contract is an albatross contract, man. He hasn't done anything this year as a Met. I mean, and he's on the DL, and you can't tell the difference with him on the DL and him at the plate this year. I mean, this guy has 6 home runs, and lucky for him, he's had 2 home run games. Because if it wasn't for that, he'd just have 2 home runs for the year.
Damn, 6 home runs? I thought he had more than that by now. Jeez.
Nope. And right, he's digressed. He has 14 or 15 home runs, but
that's better than Jason Bay.
Well, yeah, that's better than Wright of last year. Wright had his worst year last year with 10 home runs and 72 RBIs. He still managed to hit 300, I think about 310. But Wright, you know, Wright's around the 30 home run, 100 RBI mark. So for him, and also having that injury to his head, I mean, that definitely didn't help him out.
Yeah.
Last year, but. Pretty much everybody, the MVP of this team this year is Angel Pagan, offensively. I mean, it's not even up for debate. This guy was carrying the team. I mean, this guy was their best hitter with runners in scoring position. And Francoeur, you know, Francoeur. He's always a streaky guy. Either he's great or he's horrible. And when you're a pull hitter like him,
Angel Pagan. Well, I would have thought Luis Castillo would be leading the team in offense right now. Angel Pagan.
I hope you're joking. Castillo's hitting .235, man.
Oh.
Dude, that barely could get you on the subway nowadays. Dude, .235.
Yeah, the Mets have to make major changes in the offseason, man.
And that's the problem for the past 2 years, since 08. Mets fans have been practically begging ownership to make changes, to try to improve this team, but they just sit on their hands and do nothing. Since 08, they were saying, hey, the offense, you know, ever since the first collapse, we need to improve the offense. Let's get Manny. The Mets didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They didn't improve the pitching. Okay, '08, my fault. They did improve the pitching because they did trade for Johan Santana. But they didn't improve the offense, which the offense, of course, let them down in 07 and 08.
Yeah.
So other than Santana that they acquired in the trade, which they, you know, they fleeced Minnesota when all the other teams didn't think Mets could have acquired Johan Santana. I mean, sure, Red Sox and I think Yankees, you know, bowed out in the last moment. But bottom line is Mets, you know, were able to make that trade. But other than that, Mets haven't done anything to improve the team, and that's the problem with the Mets historically. When they make a move, especially about the last 9 years or so, every move they've made, most likely it's pretty much blown in their face. That's why when people say Mets don't spend the money, unfortunately they do spend the money, but they spend the money on the wrong players.
Yeah.
And when it's a player that they really need, that's when they don't spend the money. And they better. Dude, I don't even know if I should even be saying something, but they better try to get Cliff Lee over here. I don't know if he wants to come to the Mets, but they definitely need Cliff Lee.
Is he a free agent?
Cliff Lee, of course. And everybody expects Cliff Lee to pitch in New York.
Oh.
Of course, you know where. The Yankees.
I don't know about that. I don't know if that's good. I don't think he'll become a Yankee, but anything's possible.
With the Yankees, anything is possible.
Yeah, never know.
The Yankees, you can't put anything past the Yankees. Dude.
Hey, if the players want to play here, I mean.
Yeah, I don't care if they give them. I don't care if they give them a dollar more than the Yankees or 50 cent more than the Yankees. Give them the most money. Make them come here. By any means necessary.
You know, and that's the thing. The Mets need to spend.
Yeah, that's the problem. They spend the money. They don't spend the money on the right players. They should have went after Derek Lowe. I know he wanted an extra year. I understand that. But then they give Oliver Perez a 3-year, $36 million contract, and then they don't even have the cojones to release the guy when he's not performing. Or Luis Castillo. I didn't have a problem with the trade when they acquired him in Minnesota in 07. You know, because the guy was a 3-time Gold Glove. Guy was always a good hitter.
Yeah.
I had no problem with that. But even when they signed him to a 4-year extension, I'm like, that's too much.
Yeah, that is
they
too much.
Like, what, $6 million a year? I mean, seriously, I mean, he's not that player anymore. He has no range defensively. He has no arm.
He can't hit home runs.
He looks like Roberto Alomar as a Met.
Well, Roberto Alomar looks slightly better than Luis Castillo does.
Maybe batting from the left side or so. Because Castillo, he is done, man.
Well, at least our Luis Castillo doesn't have AIDS.
Oh my God. you're gonna go there. Well, hopefully for Alan Moore's case, hopefully that rumor isn't true that he has AIDS.
Well, hopefully.
For some, I don't know why you bet against him. What, he hit a home run to a few guys when he was with the Orioles or Cleveland or something?
No, I'm just going along with the flow. I mean, you're dissing him, I'm dissing him too.
I'm not dissing him. I'm telling the truth. Everybody who saw Ray Charles could have saw how bad he stunk as a Met.
Yeah, he didn't perform like he should have. I mean, the guy was an all-star before he came to the Mets.
This guy, everyone was saying this guy was like the best second baseman of all time.
Yeah.
They were moving, they pretty much, were saying he was better than, Joe Morgan or any of those, great second basemen of all time.
Yeah, and I remember.
They were saying Alan Moore, I remember when they acquired him in 01, like before the 02 season.
Are you hyped?
Oh, yeah, I was hyped. Because I always heard about Roberto Alomar. I mean, I always knew he was, heard he was a very good player. But then when the Mets got him, because, I was just following the National League, because I'm a Mets fan. I wasn't really paying that much attention to the other teams, that much. Especially in the American League, because, unless if I'm facing them in the World Series, I mean, it's not really going to impact me anyway.
Right.
Then once they acquired him, now I looked at the stats and all that, so I'm like, damn, wow. No wonder they were talking about him like that.
He was a great player. He was a great player.
I got hyped, man. Then afterwards, the rest is history.
Yeah. Errors, not hitting.
Lots of lackadaisical plays, not hustling, not staying in on double plays. He was a bust. He's in the Hall of Shame of Mets second baseman. Carlos Baerga, Alomar, Juan Samuel, who was bad at so bad at second base. That they made him play center field.
Goddamn.
Yeah, that bad. Thank goodness I wasn't a baseball fan at that time. Cause, man.
Wow.
And I could think of some more, but my mind is I can't think of some right now. But if anybody who has any horror stories of Met second baseman, feel free to call in. But the Mets. Another thing that kind of annoyed me was them releasing Alex Cora. Now, don't get me wrong. Alex Cora wasn't, Alex Rodriguez at the plate, or this guy. He wasn't gonna make the Hall of Fame or anything, or But the guy was a clubhouse leader.
Yeah, the Red Sox.
Right. He played. He won a championship with the Red Sox. This guy was one of the few guys who actually won a championship. Who knows what winning is all about?
Yep.
And they let him go. They just released the guy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not in love with the guy when he's at the plate. Let's be real. The guy is not a good hitter. I mean, this year he's, he's hit a little bit better. But then again, he's hitting .205. So, it's not like, I love seeing him, at the plate. But then again, most of these guys, with the exception of Pagan, not a lot of them are really hitting that well.
How was before they let go of Alex Cora? What was he hitting?
He was hitting a .205.
Oh well.
But because the guy brought leadership, but. Another thing that was sad about the whole situation, he was a leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And people like him, a lot of people predict this guy's gonna be a future manager. And when Minaya released him, he said that he knew him for 20 years, and that he feels like he's gonna be a general manager in the future. So, and he said that he knew him for, you know, 20 years, and so, you know.
That, I guess that's what the Mets are lacking right now. The Mets are lacking leadership in the clubhouse.
Mets are lacking leadership and talent, because on paper, this team should be a very
Well, they have talent.
They do have talent, but the problem is, do they have the hunger? I mean, a lot of people are attacking their toughness. Because going back to the Cora story, when they released him, you know, him and Franco were good friends, and I think Cora tweeted him and said, hit a home run tonight or something like that. And Mets, you know, going into the, let me see what inning that was. What inning was that? Was that seventh, I think? Franco did, in fact, hit the home run, the only run of the game. And, you know, it was bittersweet. So Franco did deliver that home run.
Well, you know, hey, as Cora, he's going to a better place now. Hopefully it's it'll go back to the Red Sox, maybe. Even though they won't be making the playoffs, but. He'll go to another team and hit 205 again. Who knows? And be a leader in that clubhouse. Hello?
Hey, we'll repeat that. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, okay. The host is distracted.
Sorry. The force isn't strong with me.
Oh, okay. No, I was saying, now, you know, as Cora, he'll probably be going to another team where he'll hit 205 and be a leader in that clubhouse.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, help another team win a championship.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. People were talking to me off the air.
Oh, okay.
Apologize for that. But,
I've seen posts on the, like, TV shows be distracted also.
But, you know, well, best of luck to him, and you can expect that guy to jump onto another winning team and probably win another championship. But I hope, but I have a strong feeling maybe it might be Phillies. Well, I haven't heard anything or read anything, but the force, I'm sensing he's going to go to Philadelphia. Or the Yankees.
Think so?
I just have a bad feeling about that.
Nah, he's not coming to the Yankees. Oh, see
or
that.
Braves or something. Oh, yeah, he don't hit home runs, so you're probably right. He wouldn't go to the Yankees.
So that Phillies, too. Phillies wouldn't count also, so he wouldn't go to them either.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Nah, I think he'll go to, like, some, like, Pirates or Royals or some one of those teams.
Yeah, so they could help him win a championship. Yeah. So, I was about to say, and you can mark this down. He signs with the Phillies. He's gonna get a key hit against us, just like Snyder did.
How many times you played Phillies? What, two more times or something?
I lost count. Probably. Maybe two. I'd say at least two more times. You're probably right. It probably is two more times. No, wait. We're gonna face them this weekend again at home. So maybe that might be. Maybe my after this. Maybe three more times. Maybe, including this the week that's coming up. But I haven't done the math in my head how many games we face. But, you know, there should be, like, you know, face them, like, 18 or 19 times in a year, so.
I heard Halliday wasn't good. He gave up, like, 5 runs. Wow, that's not a typical Halliday day.
Sure wasn't. I mean, he was shaky in the first inning, allowed the 2 runs. Oh, but then again, he got hit a bit, but, on the paper, it might look like he got hit that hard, but, I mean, Reyes, you know, gave him a legit double. Pagan hit a bloop single, and then Pagan sold second and third, and then afterwards, Ike Davis hit an infield hit, you know, to score the second run. So with two outs, so that's how they scored the Mets scored the two runs. And then in the other, what was it, the seventh inning? That's when he gave up the other three runs.
Oh.
But, I mean, he didn't really pitch that bad, but, I mean, the first inning, I mean, he did give up two runs, so he wasn't Roy Halladay, but the seventh inning, he got his butt kicked.
So overall, he pitched this weekend?
Oswald did against the Mets. No, I don't think he. No, he didn't.
Oh. Okay.
But hopefully Mets will, you know, try to, you know, be respectable, you know, try to, I don't know, pull a miracle run and try to get this thing close. But like I said earlier, the fat lady has sunk.
Wow. Putting the nail on the coffin, huh?
The nail on the coffin was a long time ago. But the nail on the coffin was how they played that last game against Braves. That really, after the week before the All-Star break, that's when it all come tumbling down. But that last game against the Braves, that really put the nail in the coffin. Now they're 9 games behind them. But hopefully they'll surprise everybody, because they need a redemption.
Well, you know, they're still the wild card.
The wild card, they're 7 back.
Oh,
they're
shit.
At least 7 back, so there is no hope for the Mets this year. Bad luck 2011. Hopefully he'll let the young guys play and cut Luis Castillo and Perez and fire Jerry Manuel. I don't usually advocate.
Wow, you're advocating firing the manager.
Yeah.
You're serious.
Jerry Manuel is arguably the worst Mets manager I've seen in my life. And this guy, it's like, as a person, he seemed like a cool person, you know, joking around, stuff like that. Seemed like a cool person to talk to, but as my manager, no thank you. I mean, this guy, he's always at least a move too late. He does moves that literally scratches your head on a daily basis, like having people bunt in with people. I mean, I've seen people bunt with two people in scoring position with two outs. I've seen that. I've seen moves that he plays. He shows his hand before he does it. It's like, instead of, I mean, he's just being outmanaged, man.
Yeah, poor in-game management decisions.
And then it's like, it's like you're watching a movie. It's like, don't open that door, and then you know, the killer, you know, kills the person. That's like watching the Mets game. It's like, no, why are you letting Feliciano face I'm trying to think of some.
Ryan Howard.
No. Ryan Howard would be perfect because he's a lefty.
Oh, okay.
He's like, no, don't make him face Jeter or something
okay.
like that. You know what I mean? It's like he puts him in situations. It's like, don't put this person is good against. He's a lefty, and they're trying to force this guy to be a righty, eight inning guy. But I mean, he's great against lefties, and he's shaky at best against the righties. I mean, he's improved this year compared to his other years, but you can't trust this guy. And all the other people in the bullpen, they stink. They all stink. The only person who's good or somewhat shaky it's K-Rod.
Yeah.
You know, K-Rod is, you know, that's the closer, you know. You gotta trust in the guy. His resume, you know, proves it. You know, he won a championship in 02, you know, as a setup man for the Angels. And just the year, he's 2 years removed from his single save, season save, with 57 actually saves. But then again, he had 7 blown saves. But so this guy, you know, I still
have faith. Why aren't you using Oli Perez as a setup man?
Why aren't we using Oliver Perez as a paperweight? How about that? Because this guy is useless. Carrying Luis Castillo and carrying Oliver Perez on the team, it's like having a 23-man. It's like having a 23-man roster. Because those guys don't do jack. Those guys, they suck. Luis Castillo is a has-been. Oliver Perez is a never-been. He had one good year with the Mets in 07 when he won 15. And he had that one good year when he was with, I believe, he was either with the Pirates or Padres still. Probably with the Padres at that time. And he never lived up to the potential. When you get your agent Scott Boras begging the Mets that he needs to see a sports psychologist, you know this guy. You know this guy has
Scott Boras wanted him to see a sports psychologist.
Yeah, before the season started.
Oh shoot! I didn't hear about that.
And Oliver Perez, man, and Pelfrey. I mean, Pelfrey these last couple of years. I mean, he's had great first halves, and then he falls off the face of the earth. And he saw a sports psychologist too, and he looked like he had it turned around. But then again, these two past second halves of these last 2 seasons, he's fall off the face of the earth.
What does a sports psychologist do?
I guess talk to them about confidence. I don't know. I wouldn't know.
Oh.
You know, try to, you know, get their head right and just give these guys confidence so they could, you know, face, big league hitters and have the confidence that they can succeed, I would assume, I mean, and have a better work ethic and building on the player's confidence. That's what my assumption would be.
Oh.
But Mets, they really need help.
Yeah, you went on a Met rave. Met rant.
Hey, the Mets organization didn't do anything they literally didn't do any trades. The only trade they did was basically around the trade deadline was trading away Mike Jacobs, who I didn't even know was still in the minor leagues.
They traded him away.
Yeah, the starting first baseman of this year, because Delgado, they didn't re-sign Delgado. Delgado he signed a minor league deal with the Red Sox because Delgado was still hurt.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he signed it yesterday. So Delgado is he's in the minor leagues for the Red Sox as he tries to.
Does he have anything left?
He got hurt. Defensively, he has literally nothing. I mean, he was never Keith Hernandez or Don Mattingly, you know, behind the bag. But defensively, he's shot. So a DH is the perfect spot for him. I think he's still sitting on 472. So, you know, he's trying to, you know, resuscitate his career so he could potentially hit 500 home runs.
How old is he?
He's like 35. He's between 35 and 38. I forgot. I don't know.
Oh.
This guy's, you know, over the hill.
What was his numbers before he left you guys?
Well, he last played with the Mets in '09 last year. He I think May of '09 he got an injury, so he was out I think the rest of the year. I forgot what his injury was. I think he might hit 3 home runs that year or so.
What about the year before that? Do you remember what his numbers were?
The year before that, I think he had a bad year too. He like maybe he might have hit like around maybe 18 to 24. I forgot what the number. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. 06 was clearly his best year.
Yeah.
He had like 38 home runs. Yeah, that was his first year as a Met too, and he was clutching the postseason. Well, in the Dodgers series, I should say. Against the Dodgers and then DS, he was playing great in the postseason. But that's therefore Mets are 4 years removed, and Mets, other than acquiring Santana, Mets haven't done anything to get them back to that level. And
well, like you said, maybe they should start by firing the manager.
They should fire Manuel and they should fire Manaea. I know they're most likely not going to fire Manaea because
Wait a second. You want them to fire Manaea too?
Hey,
what's gotten into you?
Hey, man, they're not doing the job, man. They're not doing the job. Who, if I had to choose, they both deserve to be fired because Manaea is the guy who's you know who I really think is behind this? I think it's the Wilpons. Cause
it is.
They didn't go after anybody. They didn't pay for anybody.
Should have gotten Oswald, or at least traded for him.
Well, I mean, see, that's the problem with this trading deadline. The players, they were asking too much, you know. Mets, I mean, they have a few, you know, gems in their farm system, and all the people were pretty much want to sap it out, you know. If Mets did give, those guys were asking for too much players for the most part. But they could have tried to get a decent person to help, you know, help in the farm system, you know, in the, you know, on the rotation.
Yeah, Oswald was available.
But Oswald, they were asking too much for Oswald. So.
There's some other ones out there. Who was also available? Dan Heron.
Yeah.
He was available. You guys could have got him.
Yeah, but it was a combination of the Mets not doing anything and the other teams asking for too much.
Ted Lilly.
Say what? Oh, yeah, Ted Lilly. Yeah, I think that's the guy I think they should have really acquired because he wouldn't have cost them much in prospects. And two, he's a fly ball pitcher, and you know in City Field he'd do great because most of those balls that flew out and that would have been home runs in Wrigley Field or Citizens Bank Park, they would be fly ball outs, you know, in City Field, so.
Yeah, tell me he would have been a good fit for you guys.
Yeah, I would have acquired him, even though he does have loss in velocity. But I would have went after him, as long as they wouldn't have to give too much.
You know a guy like Carlos Zambrano, too.
Yeah, you read my mind. Carlos Zambrano, looked like they were close to acquiring. They were close to acquiring him, but I think Cubs backed out. They were gonna give up Carlos Zambrano, and you know have to pay him $18 million for Oliver Perez and Luis Castillo. But Cubs backed out of that.
Yeah, because Carlos Zambrano. I mean, he's a fiery guy. He gets in his teammates' faces.
Yep. I mean, he has potential to be, if he regained his form, you know, he'd be a great number two guy.
Yeah.
But, sure he's getting paid superstar money. But then again, there's the bad Zambrano, you know. for him, you know, cursing out his teammates and acting crazy. I mean, you want a fiery guy.
But that's
guy,
what the Mets need.
Yeah, they need a fiery guy, especially
you want Zimbron to get in David Wright or Jose Reyes' face.
Well, I mean, if they're doing something wrong, I mean, I don't think he should be in Reyes and Wright's face, but what they need is a positional player to be fiery like that. That's what they need. Not because a pitcher is only going to pitch once every 5 days. They need a everyday positional player to be that type of leader. But switching gears here, about your Yankees.
The Yankees. They won yesterday. CC Sabathia won his 150th game of his career, and now he's 14-5 this season. And, you know, the Yankees, they're right now 2 games ahead of Tampa Bay in the AL East. And Tampa got one hit today. They almost got no hit for the second time this season.
Yep.
So tonight is the rubber game of the series, and they play on ESPN at 8 o'clock versus the Red Sox. So looking to win this 2 out of 3 versus the Red Sox tonight.
Yankees trying to go for the rubber game.
Oh, yeah, we're going to beat their asses today. Don't worry.
The Yankees are just rolling and rolling. And Lance Berkman, he fouled the ball off A-Rod, so A-Rod's hurt again.
Yeah, but it's negative. So the test came back negative, so he's day-to-day. So he'll probably be back tonight or later this week.
A couple of days.
But, yeah, Lance, since we got him, he's been struggling a bit, you know.
Yep. That dude look like Undertaker.
Yeah, he does. He's have Undertaker's face.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, he gets on base. You know, he has to just start hitting, you know, like the Lance Berkman that we know.
From the Astros.
Yeah. And in this lineup, he doesn't have to do much, so.
And how was Austin Kearns so far as a Yankee?
I think he hasn't really hit also, but, you know, again, he's going to be a bench player, so we don't really need that much from him either. I'd say the guy that we need to, the guy that we really need something from is Kerry Wood, because he's going to be part of our bullpen, and we need another bullpen guy, you know, to help get to Mariano.
Yeah, he needs to be the 8th inning guy because Jabba hasn't been cutting it since 07.
Yeah, Jabba hasn't been on, so I mean, we need Kerry to step up and help that bullpen.
Yep. And just before we go to Isaiah, talk a little hoop, a little Knicks. I guess we should give our congratulate the NFL class of 2010 with Jerry Rice and Emmitt Smith, Dick LeBeau leading the cast.
Yeah. Meet all great NFL players.
Yep.
Great running back, great wide receiver. Tonight they're going to have the Hall of Fame game, Cowboys versus the Bengals.
You want to check it out?
I'll watch some of it, yeah. Get a little taste of football.
Well, congratulations to those fellas.
Yeah.
And speaking of Hall of Fame, I guess going back to the Mets for a quick second, Mets haven't been doing good with these Hall of Fame ceremonies. Just like the say goodbye, the last game at Shea, the 69 Met reunion of last year, and this Met induction when they inducted Dwight Gooden, Strawberry, Frank Cashin, and Davey Johnson. Before the game, the ceremonies, they've been great by the Mets. But the games themselves, my gosh, the Mets can never show up, to show them that, you know, that you actually are breathing out there.
Yeah.
Because these guys, I mean, they, the way how the Mets are playing lately, man, for the past 3 years, man, they don't deserve to be wearing the Met uniform. They should just wear T-shirts and play. That's what they don't deserve to wear they don't deserve to wear the Mets uniform. Mets used to stand for the Met, being a Met stands for being an underdog, and, you know, always persevering, always believing in yourself and your abilities to rise up above and defeat, you know, any obstacle in your way. These guys, it's like once they get adversity, you know, they just choke.
But yeah, something's got to change with the Mets. I don't know. Either it's management or something's got to change.
They need a lot of stuff to change. But
I would hire Steve Summers to be the manager of the Mets.
Yeah, he definitely would have more passion running the Mets. Way more passionate than Jerry Manuel would be.
Or Joe Beningo.
Yeah. Jerry. Yeah, I mean, I take any of those guys to be the manager. Actually, Mets fans, you know, care about the team. But yeah, I definitely take them as Mets managers.
Or even you.
Do you think
you were the Mets manager, you would do a good job?
I think I would, but then again, these guys have to play. But so thinking about bad management, how about the Isaiah? They're hiring Isaiah as a consultant.
Oh boy!
And
I don't know why they brought this guy back. I thought he was working at Dave and Buster's. Why?
But what you gonna call it? He's still the head coach for the Florida International University, FIU. He's still the head coach. So now they're reviewing whether this is if they're gonna keep this, you know, as it stands, because he's gonna be still currently the head coach of that college basketball team, and be a consultant for the team. And reportedly, I was reading today that Donnie Walsh had nothing to do with this. This is pretty much Dolan, since Dolan's the one that pretty much signed off on it, and looks like everybody else in the organization was against this move, but Dolan's the owner, so whatever he says goes. And I heard that, from what I read, it looked like Donnie Walsh was upset that he was going to resign, but he's going to remain for the rest of his contract.
And when does that end?
I think after next year, I think.
Because I like Donnie Walsh.
Yeah, I like Donnie Walsh, too. He actually brought this team back into, finally got him under the cap, which he hadn't been in a long, long time.
Because, man, I'm telling you, if Isaiah is the general manager again, this team's going to go back to where it was.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And if Isaiah messes up the organization this time, I've got a hitman out for him.
Oh, Bret Hart, you know what, Bret Hart?
Bret Hart, yep.
Speaking of Bret Hart, he's gonna come out of retirement once again to team up with John Cena against Jericho and Edge.
Yeah, with that's gonna be fun to watch.
And NXT is going to, I mean, the Nexus, now they're called, going to be the Lumberjack.
And that's tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw.
Yep. Son tells me that Nexus is going to, John Cena and Bret Hart's going to win the match by Nexus interfering, coming into the ring and attacking them. Because you know how the Lumberjack are supposed to only attack you outside the ring if you fall out.
Right.
Or, you know, throw you back in. But I think Nexus are going to, towards the end of the match, Nexus is going to come in the ring and attack them savagely. And then, you know, they're going to call for the bell, you know, disqualifying, Edge and the Nexus are gonna just jump, you know, John Cena and Bret Hart. And then
I'm
maybe
getting tired of the Nexus.
Well, you want me to tell you what killed Nexus, the storyline, when they fired Bryan Danielson, because he was one of the few guys in that faction that could actually wrestle.
Yeah.
I mean, separately, the guys, they all lack something. I mean, Wade Barrett, he looked like he could be, you know, rightfully the leader. I mean, his mic skills are, I guess, decent at best. And the person with the best mic skills is, what's his name?
The black
David
guy?
David Otunga.
Yeah.
Other than that, he can't really wrestle. Probably Wade Barrett would be the best one, since Daniel Bryan is, you know, no longer with he's no longer with WWE.
Although the fans loved him. The fans wanted him to stay in WWE, but I guess Vince didn't like him.
Yeah, and there's conflicting rumors about that, you know, why he's fired. And I don't know if the rumor is true, if Shawn Michaels, who trained them, has a bad, you know, relationship with him and Vince because of the firing.
Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, that's the rumor that's going out.
I thought Daniel Bryan was the best wrestler out of all of them, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, that's what I said.
I mean, all those other guys, they're just big and muscle, and have more muscle.
Yeah, that's what I said. Bryan Danielson is the best wrestler out of all of them.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think. The only guy who's not muscular on the team is him and Justin Gabriel, who has the best 450 splash.
Yeah.
So he probably has the best finisher in that group.
Yeah, because I can't think of any other finisher moves that's in that group.
Yeah, Wade Barrett. He has like a fireman carry, and he like.
Oh yeah, you're right about that.
You remember it now. And apparently Dolph Ziggler won the Intercontinental title on SmackDown. But because of the Yankee game, I wasn't able to see that match and most of the thing.
You blame the Yankee game for that?
It's true. Like, the Yankee game is what pushed it back. The Yankees and Red Sox. I mean, you know, when those guys are playing, that game ain't ending until after 11. And even on a day, especially on a day game.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the you know, book. And even though Brett is, you know, 52 and, you know, for the hill, it'll be interesting to see him team up with Cena and see what happens.
Yeah.
This is a week before Money. So hopefully that will reveal who the GM.
Mm-hmm.
Keep my finger crossed for people's camp blocks. But, of course, you all know what time it is. I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out the show. See you guys next week. Thank you, Carly, for helping out, man.
No problem.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, have a great weekend. Speak to you guys next week. Come on, everybody.